top stories this hour. Israeli jets keep pounding the Gaza Strip, killing more Palestinians, among them 8 children. The US backs the deadly strikes. Authorities in the Gaza Strip warn medics are facing multiple crises amid deadly Israeli airstrikes, with hospitals running out of drugs and fuel supplies. And Iranians hold Tasua mourning ceremonies on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, a grandson of Prophet Muhammad. Hello and welcome to World News here at headquarters in Iran's capital, Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Top story this hour, Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes. The fresh air raids have left at least 2 people dead. The attack targeted the Jabalia camp and the city of Khan Yunus. This brings the total to 23, the number of Palestinians killed since Friday. The toll includes 8 children. 2 senior Islamic Jihad leaders are also among the fatalities. Palestinians held a funeral for Commander Khaled Mansour in the southern city of Rafah. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says assassinating Palestinian leaders won't stop the resistance to the Israeli occupation. 265 people have been injured so far in Israeli attacks. Israel has also deployed artillery units and troops near the Gaza border. Meanwhile, in response to Israel's attacks, the Islamic Jihad has fired hundreds of rockets at Israeli cities, including Tel Aviv, Sderot and Ashkelon. The movement says it will not engage in any mediation efforts until after it avenges the Israeli killings and the assassination of its leaders. Here are the reactions of the people in Gaza to Israel's deadly airstrikes against the besieged territory.
The house was overcrowded with no less than 22 members, and around it there were 6 houses that were all damaged. And this happened without a warning. It was horrifying. They targeted the house with 5 or 6 rockets. There were body parts on the ground. It's horrifying.
They target people. They target helpless people who are safe in their homes. They target children and old people. They do not have mercy. Who can we complain to?
This building has 3 apartments, shops including smithy shop, aluminum shop, a carpenter shop, a fish store, chicken store. This is a tragedy. We appeal to the Arab countries and Muslims to stand with us.
Gaza's top hospital director warns that medics are facing multiple crises amid Israeli attacks. The blockaded territory is urgently in need of drugs and electricity supplies. The director says the borders of Gaza must be immediately reopened to allow for the imports of drugs and fuel. That's as Gaza's health ministry says power generators are running out of fuel and the depleting electricity supply is expected to lead to a halt to health services as soon as Tuesday afternoon. Gaza's sole power plant shut down on Saturday, 4 days after Israel closed its crossings with the territory, citing security concerns. The UN's humanitarian agency has also voiced concerns over fuel shortages in the Strip, saying this could affect ambulances helping the injured. Well, to keep you updated with the latest developing story out of occupied Palestine and the Gaza Strip, we're going to go over to our correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, what's the latest in the Israeli aggression on the Gaza city? And, of course, please tell us the number of injured and the number of those who have been killed.
Well, I mean, since Friday afternoon when the Israeli onslaught against Gaza began, at least 31 Palestinians have been killed and close to 260 direct injuries. We're not even talking about the cuts and bruises and scratches, but we're talking about actual major injuries due to the heavy bombardment and some officials describe Israel's use of unconventional weapons against the civilians in Gaza during these attacks. Currently, the situation is extremely tense, and there are rumors about a possible truce sometime this evening, but the Islamic Jihad continues to deny such truth, although one of the spokesmen of the Islamic Jihad from was speaking from Turkey earlier, said that they are open for such possibility of a truce, but nothing has been officially declared, at least by the Islamic Jihad. Meanwhile, Israel continues to pound the Gaza Strip, while the Palestinian resistance fighters, mainly the Islamic Jihad's military wing, the Al-Quds Brigades, continues to fire rockets towards the Israeli regime. Over the last hour or hour and a half, hundreds of rockets were fired from Gaza towards the Israeli regime, and also they fired mortar shells towards Israeli military positions on the east of the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation is extremely dire, especially in regards to the health situation. Health officials have warned of an imminent health crisis, as they may stop providing service in less than 48 hours due to lack of electricity to run hospitals, and also lack of fuel for hospital backup generators, as the Israeli regime has sealed the crossings into Gaza since Tuesday, preventing the entry of all goods and also the entry of any fuel for Gaza's sole power generating plant that was forced to shut down yesterday. The whole situation we're in right now is because of what the Israeli regime did last Monday, when they arrested a senior Islamic Jihad official in the occupied West Bank, Bassam al-Sadi, and killed a Palestinian there as well. And then over the last few days, Israel started making threats against the Palestinians in Gaza and against mainly the Islamic Jihad. And all of a sudden, Friday afternoon, while the Israeli regime had announced on Thursday night they're going to open the crossing to allow fuel for the power plant instead of allowing the fuel, at the same time they were supposed to allow fuel for the power generating plant, they assassinated top Islamic Jihad commander Taysir al-Jabri by hitting an apartment building that houses over 100 100 families.
Ashraf, reports say that the Israeli military has accepted a truce, but the Islamic Jihad has rejected. Why do you think this is?
Well, these statements are made through Israeli media. We have to understand that it is Israel who started this deadly attack against the Gaza Strip by assassinating an Islamic Jihad official on Friday and another Islamic Jihad official on Saturday, and a few other military commanders from the Islamic Jihad. So I think if a truce does happen, it has to abide by the rules of the Islamic Jihad, not the rules and conditions of the Israeli regime.
Okay, Ashraf, thank you very much for keeping us updated. Hope you keep safe, and we will keep in touch with you in the next news bulletins. Moving on, as the Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip continues, crowds of people in the British capital, London, gather to protest the regime's atrocities against Palestinians. Protesters held placards and chanted against Tel Aviv's acts of aggression and terrorism. They are calling for a stop to the massacre of Palestinians. The regime's deadly raids on Gaza have drawn huge condemnations. Turkey strongly condemned the air raids, saying it is unacceptable to kill civilians. Qatar, Jordan, and Algeria also denounced the Israeli onslaught. Israel's airstrikes on the Gaza Strip have left dozens of Palestinians dead and hundreds of others injured since Friday. Millions of Iranians are marking Tasawwa as part of mourning ceremonies commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad.
اصلا نمیشه باندرم در خاک و خون نشستی
بران نامردمم زینب صدای خنده می آید صدای خنده می آید بخوان زینب آیا بر نمی خیزید به پا خیزید
بهانش با ویلا خوش به سر آمد
خورشید روشن شیه تاریک و چون شد
ریگ روانش با ویلا خوش به سر آمد
Taswa is the ninth day of the lunar month of Muharram, a day before Ashura, which marks the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam. Taswa is the day Imam Hussein and his companions were besieged by the enemy during the Battle of Karbala. Every year, black-clad mourners attend mosque or parade in the streets for rituals that involve rhythmic chanting and beating of their chests and reciting eulogies in honor of Imam Hussein. The Imam and 72 of his comrades were martyred after fighting thousands of soldiers of the second Umayyad Caliph Yazid in Karbala desert in today's Iraq in 1680 AD.
Voices of grief and sorrow for Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam, a man who lived 14 centuries ago, but continues to inspire Muslims. Every year during the first 10 days of the Muslim calendar month of Muharram, Iranians get together in large mourning processions to mark the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. He and his 72 companions were killed in 680 AD by the forces of the tyrannical ruler of the time, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, on the plains of the modern-day Iraqi city of Karbala.
After 14 centuries, we continue to love Imam Hussein, not only as our third Imam and the Prophet's grandson, but as the symbol of self-sacrifice and freedom-seeking.
Every year, we participate in the mourning rituals for Imam Hussein to keep his legacy alive. We dress in black, beat on our chests, and shed tears. The blazes of his love never die down in our hearts.
The ninth day of Muharram is called Tasua and is dedicated to Imam Hussein's half-brother, Abul Fazl al-Abbas, who fought alongside the Imam against the army of Yazid. Abul Fazl is highly revered among Muslims as a symbol of loyalty and chivalry.
Abul Fazl holds a special place in our hearts. In the Battle of Karbala, Imam Hussein and his household and their companions were denied access to Euphrates River to drink water, and it was Abul Fazl who fought a large group of the enemy's forces to get to the river, but on the way back, he was brutally killed by the forces of Yazid.
The Karbala tragedy was sparked after Imam Hussein refused to pay allegiance to Yazid, who was known as a corrupt ruler. These people say without the sacrifices of Imam Hussein, Islam as we know it could have been distorted by Yazid.
The reason Imam Hussein rose against Yazid was to tell his community that Yazid was not treading on the path of Islam. And by spilling the blood of Imam Hussein, who was the Prophet's son, Yazid revealed his anti-Muslim stance, and this ultimately led to the decline of his rule.
The climax of the Muharram rituals is the day of Ashura, which falls on the 10th day of the month. That's when large groups of Shia Muslims converge on Imam Hussein's shrine in the city of Karbala in Iraq to pay homage to him.
The event of Karbala is a heart-wrenching story that touches the heart of every listener. But these people say, aside from its tragic side, Imam Hussein's martyrdom is an endless source of lessons about freedom and resistance for all generations. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Muslims in Pakistan and other countries across the world mark the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein's six-month-old son on the International Day of Ali Asghar. Third Shia Imam Hussein Ali and his family and followers were ruthlessly martyred in the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD.
Mourners in Karachi commemorated the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein's youngest child, who was not spared by the enemy forces.
The 6-month-old Ali Asghar, the youngest son of Imam Hussein, was martyred by the forces of Yazid. The Battle of Karbala and Imam Hussein's sacrifices for righteousness and freedom are still a source of inspiration for Muslims around the world.
Mothers who brought their babies along paid tribute to Ali Asghar on the first Friday of the Islamic month of Muharram and mourned the six-month-old son of Imam Hussein.
What had the six-month-old done? We are out on the streets recalling the message of that innocent child of Imam Hussein, that we will always stand against the tyrant of the time. We will always stand shoulder to shoulder with the oppressed, no matter what.
Special eulogies and rituals were performed to commemorate the incident where Ali Asghar was killed with an arrow shot in his throat in the plains of the Iraqi city of Karbala.
We are commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of Ali Asghar, the youngest martyr of Karbala, who teaches us the lessons of readiness and sacrifice in the face of injustice and brutality.
Ali Asghar was martyred while he was in the arms of his father Imam Hussein, who was pleading for water to quench the thirst of his little baby. The grandson of Prophet Muhammad and his companions sacrificed their lives but refused to pledge allegiance to the unjust Umayyad Caliph Yazid. Muhammad Turi, Karachi.
A probe is underway in the U.S. state of New Mexico into what the local governor is calling the targeted killings of four Muslim men. The latest of the murders took place on Friday. The other three happened over the past 2 weeks and in November. Local police and federal agencies are now trying to establish whether the murders in the city of Albuquerque are linked. The previous victims were ambushed and shot without warning. Police earlier said the Muslim men were targeted for their religion and race, and that there is a strong possibility that their deaths were connected. Hopes are quickly fading for the rescue of 10 Mexican coal miners trapped in a flooded deposit as of 4 days ago. A relief effort ends with little progress. The miners were reportedly carrying out excavation work in the northern state of Coahuila, Mexico, when they encountered an abandoned tunnel with water that flooded the mine. Officials say over 300 soldiers and other personnel, including 6 military scuba divers, are working to pump out water from the flooded areas. According to the reports, the level of water inside the flooded mine has receded just under 10 meters. Coahuila is Mexico's main coal-producing region. It has seen a series of fatal mining accidents over the years. In the most recent, 7 miners died trapped last year. Well, those were the top stories for this hour. Many thanks for joining us.
Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "Perform pilgrimage to Karbala, and don't stop doing this, for Karbala has embraced the best son of the prophets."
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. On this Sunday, August 7th, 2022. I'm Atefa Irfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. And heartfelt condolences to all our listeners on the poignant occasion of Tasu'a, or the ninth of the mourning month of Muharram, the day preceding history's most heartrending tragedy. It is the anniversary of the day which continues to jolt human conscience as the conscientious concentrate on what transpired in Karbala in the year 61 AH, corresponding to 680 AD, when Imam Hussein, peace upon him, sought a day's respite from the enemy forces surrounding him and demanding pledge of allegiance from him to the godless rule of the tyrant Yazid. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Muhammad Fali from Malaysia, Shahinur Alam from Bangladesh, and Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, one of our old and regular listeners. And here I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read these emails. Here we've received an email from Muhammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners. Avinash Chikat from India has sent us an email. Abbas Taghi Mehdi from Pakistan has also sent us an email. From Pakistan also, we've received an email from Abed Hussein Sajid, one of our old and regular listeners. And also, we've received an email from Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners. After a short break, I will be back and read these great emails from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here, as I said, we've received an email from Muhammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners. Muhammad Khaku says, Muharram is the first of the 12 months in the Islamic calendar. It is not marked by joy, merriment, or celebrations, but with sadness and mourning. The first 10 days of Muharram culminate with Ashura, which falls on Monday, August 8th. There is no catastrophic day greater than the day of Ashura, on which the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, was martyred by the ruler of the time, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. The majlis of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and the tears that roll down our cheeks are for the oppressed, and each droplet being challenged to the tyrant. Ashura differs from one city to city, but a silken thread that binds each city is Imam Hussein. Every city has its cultural ethnicity woven into the rituals of Hussein. But the cry of Ya Hussein remains the same. Antoine Barra, a Christian thinker, says, Imam Hussein does not belong to the Shiites, but to the whole world. Hussein is in my heart. If Hussein was one of us, we would raise a banner with the name of Hussein in every corner of the earth, and we would call on people to Christianity with the name of Hussein. Hussein is the armor and eternal gem of Islam. First of all, salam, and thank you very much for sending us this email, Muhammad Khaku. And of course, we do express our condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and also his companions. Thank you very much for, this message on the mourning month of Muharram and these descriptions on this tragic day, I mean Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, which culminate with Ashura. Actually, it falls on Monday, August 8th. Thank you very much for sending us this email. As you said, and you described in this email, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, belongs to all humanity. Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., thank you very much again. Write to us soon. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And Avinash Chikat from India has sent us an email saying, I am pleased to report the reception of your English language transmissions of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. I found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or even with an EQSL. The special program on the month of Muharram was very interesting and informative. Your broadcast made me understand the significance of the day and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. I'm interested in collecting postage stamps from across the world. It would be great if you can send me a few used postage stamps from Iran and if you have any to spare. First of all, salam and many thanks for sending us this email. Avinash Chikat from India. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio in the time of pandemic is not possible. So in the time being, please accept our EQSL card as a confirmation. And thank you very much for your compliments as you describe the special programs on the month of Muharram as interesting and informative. Avinash Chikat from India, write to us soon. And thank you again for sending us this email. Welcome back. Abbas Taghi Mehdi from Pakistan has sent us an email, of course, on the month of Muharram, on the morning month of Muharram. Let's see what Abbas Taghi Mehdi says. Bravery has a unique place in our daily life. It has a holy definition and becomes meaningful with danger. Perhaps the highest level of bravery occurs when one's life is in danger. Nonetheless, there is a higher level of bravery. This level of courage was shown in the day of Ashura by Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his companions and children. The events of Karbala reflect the collision of the good versus the evil, the virtuous versus the wicked, and the collision of Imam Hussein, the head of the virtue, versus Yazid, the head of impiety. Karbala was about standing in the face of oppression, regardless of the cost. In Karbala, Imam Hussein, the second grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, sacrificed all he had for one goal. This goal was to let the truth triumph over falsehood eventually, and he did that brilliantly. Salam and warm greetings to you, Abbas Taghi Mehdi from Pakistan. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us such a great email. And please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein and his loyal companions. And thank you for describing, the tragic and the mourning month of Muharram in such a great way, as you said. The goal of Imam Hussein and his loyal companions was to let the truth triumph over falsehood eventually. And Imam Hussein and his companions did that very brilliantly. And as you may know, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, belongs to all freedom-seeking people around the world. Abbas Taghi Mehdi from Pakistan, please accept our EQSL card as a confirmation. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Abed Hossein Sajid from Pakistan, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a message. He says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. After a long time, I listened to your program on the occasion of martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. You presented great information in your special programs. Please send me an EQSL card. I shall wait for it." Salam and warm greetings to you, Abed Hossein Sajid from Pakistan. And thank you very much for letting us know which program or programs you like the best. As you said, IRIB English Radio presented great information in the special programs on Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and that's great. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Abed Hossein Sajid, please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his loyal companions. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Russia from Vasily Kuznetsov. Welcome back. Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. He says, "Dear friends, I was glad to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting on shortwave. I had a very good reception in English and Russian programs of IRIB in Moscow, where I live. Also, I should say that your website in English and Russian languages are very informative. Like many amateurs of radio, I submit my report with the hope to get a QSL card. Thank you in advance." Salam and warm greetings to you, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia. And thank you for letting us know your views about IRIB English radio programs as well as IRIB English radio websites. As you said, you enjoy the news and the programs. Thank you for letting us know about it. As for your request about sending you a paper QSL card, as I have said many times, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the time of pandemic is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And as the time tells me, we have to wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. But before ending this program, again, I do express my heartfelt condolences to all our listeners on the poignant occasion of Tasua, or the ninth of the mourning month of Muharram, the day preceding the history's most heartrending tragedy. Thank you very much for being with us. Have a good time and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all.
واحد دشنه بر لب تشنه بر لب تشنه بر لب تشنه
Mournful is the earth as heaven starts to cry. Water doubts its worth as lips begin to dry. Listen to the silence. It breaks with a sad goodbye. Amid the drums of war is a mother's lullaby.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Al-Hujja, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, and to each and every one of you. As we gather on this evening and on these nights to commemorate the tragedy that befell upon the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You know, tonight we cry for Abbas. And Abbas was not a man just of bravery. Abbas was a man of high faith. You know, Imam As-Sadiq says, Kana ammun al-Abbas nafidh al-basira wa salb al-iman. He says, my uncle Abbas was a man of penetrating insight and unwavering faith. And how could he not be? Because Abbas grew up in the house of Ali. Abbas grew up under the imamate of Hassan. Imam grew up under the imamate of Hussein. This man was the perfect example of what a mu'min is. And so today as we praise Abbas, it is necessary that we praise his mother, Ummul Baneen, as well. We say salam to you, Ya Ummul Baneen, for raising four children in such a way in which they you raise them to sacrifice their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my brothers and sisters, Abbas represented so much in Karbala. Abbas was a brother. Abbas was a father. Abbas was a son. Abbas was the courageous one. Abbas was loyal. Abbas was steadfast. But you know, more than anything for me, Abbas represented hope in Karbala. Hope. For as long as Abbas was alive, the children hoped that water would come because they said, Chacha Abbas is there. My uncle Abbas is there. As long as Abbas was alive, the women felt like their hijabs would remain. Why? Because Abbas was there. And as long as Abbas was alive, Imam al-Hussein felt like his entire army was there. Why? Because Abbas was there. This was Abul Fadl al-Abbas, that on the night, on the day of Ashura, Abbas alayhi salam would gather his brothers together and he would say to them, go forward, may I be ransomed for you. Go and defend the Imam of your time. They went and they sacrificed their lives. But there came a time on the day of Ashura when there was no one but Imam al-Hussein and Abul Fadl al-Abbas at this point. Abbas comes to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imam knows why Abbas is coming. Abbas comes to the Imam alayhi salam and he says, please Mawla, allow me to go. At this time the narration says, Fabaka Hussein Buka and Shadida. Hussein began to cry profusely because of what Abbas was asking. My brothers and sisters, today when you cry for Abbas, do not cry silently. Cry with your voices today. Because Hussein cried loudly for Abbas in Karbala. Wa Husayna, it is said Abbas comes to Imam al-Hussein. Imam begins to cry and he says, Ya Akhi, Anta Sahibu Liwa'i. He says, Abbas, how can I let you go? You are the standard bearer of my army, Abbas, how can I let you go? I wonder if Abbas said, Mawla, besides you and I, what armies? Oh, Abbas, Abbas says to Imam al-Hussein, my heart has become restricted now. The pain is overburdening, Mawla, allow me to go. The cries of Al-Atash were present from the children. Imam looks at them and says, Abbas, if you want to do something, then go and get water for the children. Abbas alayhi salam listens to the command of his Mawla. But this is where, my brothers and sisters, we have to talk about the farewell between Zainab and Abbas. This was Zainab who used to rock the cradle of Abul Fadl. And now his Abbas is coming to bid farewell. You know, Zainab has seen that from the morning, anytime someone leaves, they do not come back. Zainab knows that when Abbas is leaving, Abbas is not coming back. Abbas alayhi salam must have bid farewell to Hussein alayhi salam at this time as well. It is said Abbas alayhi salam began to ride his horse towards the Furat. The enemies began to surround Abbas from all sides. But Abbas was able to break through all of them until Abbas entered the Furat. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, it is said, comes off of his horse. He cups a cup full of water. He looks at this water and then throws it back down. And it is said, he recites, Ya nafsum min ba'dil Hussein huni, wa ba'dahu la kunti antakuni, adal Hussein waridul manuni, wa tashrabin al barid al ma'i. He says, O nafs, O soul, you are of little worth after Hussein. It does not benefit you to live after him. This is Hussein who is surrounded by death while you want to drink water. Abbas throws that water back. Abbas fills up the watering skin. Abbas has one intention now. Abbas's intention is what? To bring this water to the children. To fulfill the promise that Mawla had given him. Abbas begins to ride his horse. Anyone that comes in front of Abbas, Abbas is able to put him aside. My brothers and sisters, no one could fight Abbas from the front. This is where a mal'oon, a coward by the name of Zayd bin Warqa, was hiding behind a tree. And when Abbas passes him, he comes from behind and strikes the right hand of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Wa Abbas, Abbas alayhi salam was able to switch the mashk onto his left hand. And he says, by God, even if you cut my right arm, I will defend my religion. Abbas continues to ride. Again, the enemies come and surround him. Abbas is able to push through until another coward by the name of Hakim bin Tufail, hiding behind another tree, comes and strikes the left hand of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Wa Abbas, Abbas, it is said in narrations, was able to grab the musk and place it with his teeth, the watering bag. Abbas now rides, but this time, my brothers and sisters, arrows begin to fall on Abbas. I can't help but think and imagine we all feel the same. You know, when someone is coming to hit you, when someone is coming to hurt you, your natural defense is to raise your hands to... But Abbas has no hands. How does Abbas ward off these arrows that are coming towards him? Abbas takes them as it comes. There comes a time, it is said, when a spear is thrown and this spear pierces the watering bag. As the water falls, it is like the spirit of Abbas is also falling. What does Abbas do now? What does Abbas do now? Mawla said to bring water. The children are waiting for water. There is no way for Abbas to even go back and get water. It is said now the enemies gain courage and they begin to surround Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. It is at this point we are told that one man comes with an iron mallet, an iron hammer, and strikes Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas on his head. Wa wayla, wa Abbasa. This man would never been able to do that if Abbas had his head. Abbas falls from the horse. When Abbas falls from the horse, he calls out, Alayka minni salam. Alayka minni salam, ya Aba Abdullah. Abbas does not call for Imam to come. Again, look at the akhlaq of Abbas. Huh? Abbas doesn't say, Mawla, come. Abbas says, Salam to you, Mawla. You have done enough today. Don't worry now.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The leader's viewpoint on Imam Hussein's revolution and Ashura. Oppressors and tyrants wanted to eliminate the event of Husseini Ashura, but Zainab al-Kubra, God's greetings be upon her, did not allow this to happen. Our Lady Zainab, salamullah alayha, made two moves in order to do this. One was made during her capture and her transfer to Kufa and Sham, where she made illuminating and enlightening speeches. The other move was making a pilgrimage to Karbala in Arba'een. This was either the first or second Arba'een. This move means that we should not allow the malevolent motives which intend to erase dear, influential, and important eras from memories to be successful. Of course, they will not be successful. As long as nations are alive, as long as truthful tongues speak, and as long as religious hearts are motivated, they will not be able to erase these eras and events, as they have not been successful until today. It is a glorious panorama in history, which has been presented to the entire humanity.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, prepared himself for such a day. Of course, the entire 50-plus year life of Hussein ibn Ali, alayhi salam, is a lesson. His childhood is a lesson. His youth is a lesson. His behavior during his imamate is a lesson. And his behavior after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hassan, alayhi salam, is a lesson. It was not the case that Imam Hussein's responsibility was confined to the last day. However, the event of Karbala enjoys such greatness and brightness that, like a sun, it overshadows all the other rites. Many people were martyred in the way of God, and alongside the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Commander of the Faithful Ali ibn Abi Talib alaihi salam, and divine prophets. But none of these events is comparable to the event of Karbala. There is a difference between a person who enters the arena with the praise and encouragement of friends and companions and with a hope of victory, and who is martyred in such conditions, and a person who enters the arena in a dark and gloomy world, while not only do all the great personalities of the world of Islam refuse to accompany him, but they also blame him for engaging in battle. The latter enters the arena while there is no hope of assistance from anyone. He enters the arena with a few sincere friends and with his family, including his wife, his sister, his nieces and nephews, his six-month-old son, and a few young members of his family, while his friends and supporters in Kufa refuse to accompany him. This is a strange event.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.